الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على نبينا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، أما بعد، سلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Well, it is in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, which says, "Man lam yashkur innas lam yashkur Allah." He who does not thank people can never be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I must thank anyone who is responsible for the extra step that he has put there and has made my life at least very easy. And whoever did it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him here and in the next world. You see, for an old man like me, it is easier. And it might even prompt me to come to Mimbar quite frequently. But in any case, it has been a lot easier tonight. Otherwise, I can assure you, Mimbar is quite comfortable. There are certain masail which I would like to complete tonight, and that is a masail of a traveler. He who has traveling as his vocation will always fast. A driver, a conductor, a pilot, a crew, and captain, sea captain, whatever, whose vocation is traveling. Whether he travels that week or he does not travel that week is immaterial. His work is traveling. That man, wherever he goes, he will fast. Whether he goes for 10 days or more or less, for a day or so, and his namaz is always complete. That means there is no qasr for a person whose vocation is traveling. This man is called one who is professionally a traveler. But then there is a community of people in this world who are called nomads. In Farsi or Urdu we call them khana badosh, like gypsies and nomads who do not have any fixed abode. They go on traveling and changing their homes and places. These are also kathiru safar. Wherever they go, they will fast and they will pray full. But apart from wandering about, if a person, the same man who's a captain, let us say, or he is a pilot or a member of crew, goes for ziyarat and hajj, then if he does not stay for 10 days at any given place, he will pray a qasr and he will also not fast. You see, the difference is that as long as you are following in your traveling your own vocation, you are exempt. The moment you become an ordinary traveler, then whatever your vocation may be, the rule which will apply to you is of an ordinary traveler. Then there is a group which is called kathir safar. This is different from those who are professional. Kathir safar are those who are constant travelers. A salesman who has to travel, at least according to Ayatollah Sistani, who has at least to travel without fail, at least for 2 days in a week, is out. Not that it is once in a month or twice in a month, no. At least 2 days in a week he has got to be out. His work is such. All the time. Then such a man is called kathir safar, traveling all the time. Now, those maulanas who travel all the time for majalis in India, for example, Their diary is always full except Ramadan. They have to travel and here, they have to go to that city, that village, and they have to go on reading majalis everywhere, sometimes in Africa, sometimes in Australia. You see, these people are called kathir safar. Wherever they will go, they will pray full and they will also fast. These are the laws for a traveler. Now who is a traveler? A traveler is one who gets out of his town or city boundary and goes to a distance which is at least 28 miles one way or 14 one way and 14 the other way. According to Ayatollah Sistani and even Ayatollah Al-Khoi, there is no difference between a large city and a small village. Where the boundary is over and you go beyond the boundary 14 miles, which makes 28 miles coming and going, or 28 miles one way, then you are a musafir. And you will start considering yourself a traveler when you have crossed that limit. Not while you are still in the city. Even if you have already made the intention of traveling, you are still not a traveler till you have gone and crossed the limit. To give a very practical example, if I decide that tomorrow morning I am inshallah flying out, in the morning, if I am flying out tomorrow in the morning, the flight is at 10 o'clock, this is my place of residence. Because I'm traveling before Dhuhr, I cannot fast. But at the same time, I cannot break the fast till I have flown. See, one should not say, because I'm traveling, to let me have a good hearty breakfast. You can't. It is haram. You will not have breakfast, because still you are not in safar. Intention is there. You went to Heathrow. Heathrow is within the city limit. You are still not a traveler. You are a traveler the moment the flight takes off. And now you are a traveler. Then, because it is before Dhuhr, you can break your fast. If you want to travel in month of Ramadan, it is advisable to travel after Dhuhr. Because if you travel after Dhuhr, your fast remains. And if you travel before Dhuhr, your fast is batil. Now, if I went to, say, Peterborough at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that day's fast is saved. I reached there, and second day morning, I came back to London, say, at about 11 o'clock before Dhuhr. I did not stay there for any time, just a few hours. I have come back to my place of residence. If I come back before Dhuhr, I can fast on that day. If I come back after Dhuhr, I cannot fast on that day. But I will do the niyat of that fast after arrival. Just as I arrive, I'll make a niyat and say, I'm fasting today, provided you have not eaten or done anything which goes against the fast. To travel just to escape the fast. To travel just to escape from fasting is not haram, is makruh. Up to 24th Ramadan. After 24th Ramadan, it is not even makruh. But there is a qada after the month of Ramadan to be repaid. So if a person wants to run away and say, I'll just for the sake of running away from fast, he fast, he is not committing any sin. And the safar is not safar haram. It is makruh up to 24th, which is coming. After 24th, it is not makruh. But if it is absolutely necessary to travel, or if one wants to go to Hajj and Umrah for Umrah, then there is no kirahat and not makruh. When you go to Umrah, if you don't live for 10 days in any one place, say either Makkah or Medina, you will not be able to fast. But if you live in Medina for 10 days, you'll fast. If you live in Makkah for 10 days, otherwise you will not fast. As far as namaz is concerned, it is a special mas'ala of Medina and Makkah, that whether you want to pray full or you want to pray qasr is your own discretion. But that is exclusive to four places. Medina, Makkah, Haram Imam Hussein, and Masjid al-Kufa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us tawfiq to go to those places. We were discussing about jihad and trying to eradicate that misunderstanding that non-Muslims have about it. Two or three matters, especially focusing on the life of Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Because tonight that we are here, Mawla is our guest. On this night, Mawla is our guest. This is a night when people flocked to go and visit him. They used to go and visit him on this night. People came there and wept. The house of Ali ibn Abi Talib was very small. He never lived in a palace. So it was a queue. People went in, sat, asked masail, and then came out, others went in. It was like this. There was no room for all of them to be there. But there was such a big rush at the door of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam on this night, the day and 20th. And people were asking masail. They knew that he is our guest and not going to survive. And Ali ibn Abi Talib answered the questions till early morning on 20th, that is tomorrow. Then he said, Ayyuhan nas, khaffifu alayya masail. Now don't ask me many questions. Try to have as few questions as possible, for I feel now I cannot answer more than this. Khaffifu, make it less, make it lighter for me. Till there came a time in the evening that Mawla told Imam Hassan that now don't allow anyone. That time Asbagh bin Nabata came, and Asbagh bin Nabata was one of the closest one. When he came, Mawla Imam Hassan apologized to him and said, Asbagh, there is no reason for refusing entry. But my father has told me that now allow him to rest, for there hasn't been a moment of rest. So Asbagh says, while I understood the reason, I started crying and weeping, thinking that now I will not see him alive again. As I wept and cried, Mawla heard my voice and said, Ya Hassan, it seems Asbagh has come. I said, yes, Mawla. He said, allow him in. So Asbagh came in and he sat with Mawla and he said, Mawlaya, is there any nasihat, any advice, any admonition that you would like to give to me as we are now parting? And there Mawla said, Asbagh, extend your palm. And he stretched his palm. Mawla kept his two very weak, feeble fingers on his palm and said, he said, Rasulullah told me, Asbagh, Rasulullah told me, Ya Ali, ana wa anta abawa hadhihi al-ummah. You and I are two fathers of this ummah. Now Rasulullah has gone, and I am going. Asbagh started weeping. When he said this, he said, Mawla, any nasihat, any advice, any admonition? Mawla said, Asbagh, which could be a better nasihat and admonition? Yesterday I was with you. Today I am your guest, and tomorrow I shall be no more. Asbagh, this is enough. And now, leave me alone, for I have a lot of munajat with my Lord now. I am going to meet him. This is the history of 20th of Ramadan, which we call Shabi Ayadat or Rose Ayadat, day and night of visiting Ali ibn Abi Talib. On behalf of all of you and on my behalf, I say, Assalamu alayk, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. May Allah convey our voice to Najaf, that on this night we say, peace be upon you, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. We wish one day to come closer to you, inshallah, here, and on the day of judgment we wish to be closer to you. Jihad. Before we come to that jihad, it is called jihad bin nafs, that means a man fights in the name of Allah, in the way of Allah, struggling in order to give his life and sacrifice his life. There is one more jihad towards which we should first understand, which is also jihad bin nafs. To be able and to be prepared to speak the truth regardless of the situation and circumstances, to speak the truth and to uphold justice. Quran says, do not fail to uphold justice, even if it goes against yourselves or against your relatives. And do not be unjust because someone is against you or is opposed to you, because nothing should drive you away from path of taqwa. اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Always be on the justice path, whether the person to benefit is your enemy or whoever he may be. Say the truth. Sometimes it is as simple as what Josh Maliabadi has written in his memoir. There is a famous book of Josh Maliabadi's memoir called Yadon Ki Barat. Of course, it is not a book only for reading, it is a literary masterpiece, as you can say. But in that book, there are certain personalities he discusses. Those who he met earlier. He himself is not a very religious man, as we know. What he was, Allah knows better. It's not for me to pass any judgment. But having seen him in his lifetime, having heard him myself, I can tell you the type of man he was. 50-50. When it came to Imam Hussein, he wept like a small child. I've seen him myself. When it came to Ali ibn Abi Talib, he stood up. But when it came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was always doubtful. That was the type of man he was. And he has written a book in which he says, I have met a man in Hyderabad, Dakkan, whose name is Maulana Mahbub Hussain. And then he discusses, he said, nobody can understand the situation I am discussing because I am discussing the situation when Nizam was ruling, Nizam of Hyderabad. And this is what he has written. Wo share Afghan dabdaba aur tantana. That means people with highest influence could not stand before Nizam because of that splendor that he had. People are afraid of him. He was a ruler. At the same time, there was a personality. He said, at one dargah, dargah is a pira, pir dargah, there was a gathering in a crowd every year, and Nizam would come there sometimes. This year he came, and the program began with Quran and Majeed, Tilawat. And there was a very good Qari, who started reciting Quran. He said the moment he started, it was Surah Ar-Rahman, and the people were actually bewitched by the way he was reading. And Ar-Rahman, most of us know by heart, so they were reading with him. Nizam Hyderabad was sitting in the first chair. Next to him was Maharaja Krishan Prasad, a Hindu. The whole crowd there sitting was actually taken magically by that recitation, and suddenly Nizam started talking to Maharaja Krishan Prasad. Now both of them, Maharaja is a king of his kingdom, Nizam is the king of his kingdom. They started whispering. Behind, there was Maulana Mahbub Hussain, a poor man who used to get 30 rupees per month wages from some government service. And he has described, uski phati sherwani ki aastino se kohniya jhank rahi thi. That means he was so poor that the sherwani that he wore, his elbows could be seen out. He was just behind Nizam's chair. When he heard Nizam talking, he said, Huzur, jab tilawat ho rahi ho, baat cheet karna su'e adab hai. When Quran is being read, to talk is ill manner. Nizam never expected anyone to be able to open his mouth like that. So he looked behind. That faqir Maulana just looked at him and said nothing. There was one Hindu constable, Vetkan Ram. He straight away jumped to arrest Maulana. And as Hyderabadis say, they don't say nahi nahi. They say niku niku. Hyderabadis say niku niku means no no. So Nizam told him niku niku. That means don't. He kept silent, and immediately the qari started again, the qiraat, and the whole majma, the whole crowd was again taken by that surah as he was being read. Nizam started again talking to the same man, Parshad, after 5 minutes only. This time, this Maulana said, Quran jab padha jaye, baat karna badtamizi hai. It's not only ill manner, but it seems that you are ignorant and illiterate about this. Now this time Nizam stood up. When he stood up, that police constable thought he must be arrested now. So as he went to apprehend him, he said, Niku, Niku, don't. Just take his address and just now bring it to my palace. And Nizam left. This Maulana sat down to listen to Quran again. People as it is always the fashion of the time, that they admired this Maulana, but nobody was there to give him support. Everybody wants to save his neck. When everything was over, they came to say, Maulana, you are a brave man. He said, I have just done my duty. He reached home, and the moment he reached home, that Maharaja came himself to see him and said that the Nizam has given me 10,000 rupees those days to give you as a gift for the courage you displayed. And Maulana said, thank him on my behalf and tell him that a word of truth is not sold. A word of truth is not sold, it is jihad. I knew I stretched my neck, he could have killed me. I don't sell this thing. Maharaja bowed down and kissed his hand and went back. Nizam sent another man and said, tell him, I retire him from active duty and I will give him 300 rupees per month for doing nothing from now onwards. He even turned that down and he said, for a faqir like me, 30 rupees is more than enough. This is Josh writing. In my life, I haven't seen a brave man like that. What is the secret of bravery? The secret of bravery is jihad fi sabilillah. When the time comes to speak, one speaks. But if we all don't speak because we are afraid of some power, some authority, some influence here and there, then who will speak? This is the beginning of it. A man becomes brave by judging the situation, and then without taking any side, he says and speaks up. But this is wrong. It has got to go. What would happen at the most is people would not listen, they would not like, they would criticize. This has happened with all the prophets. And that is the reason why you see in Quran and Majid repeatedly our prophet has been told, وَإِن كَذَّبُوكَ فَقَدْ كَذَّبُوا الرُّسُلْ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. If they belie you, if they think you are a liar or you are wrong, don't worry, many prophets before you also have suffered the same thing. I mean, it is just there. One has to speak up. After this comes the courage to stand up with the sword or whatever is the arm at that time, maybe a gun or a pistol. Then, one who has no courage of speaking cannot have courage of fighting. When he has that courage, then the time comes when he is taken to the extreme, where the word of mouth does not work, then he stands up and says, now my life is there to be given, and I'll give. So in the battle of Uhud, in Nahjul Balagha, Mawla says that when the battle of Uhud was raging, suddenly, as we all know, behind the mountain the Prophet had told them not to leave. If you have gone to Uhud, you will see, inshallah, all of us will go again and again. Even today, when you see the formidable mountain of Uhud, you can't imagine how people fought there, huh? Even today, the stones there are red. Now, at the back, at the rear, there was a valley, and again the mountain rises. The Prophet said, do not leave this strategic place. Even if you see us being killed, don't leave. There were 50 people there. Here, in the front part, the enemies were defeated. But they somehow managed to injure the Prophet. The Prophet was injured in the frontal teeth. Two teeth became shaheed. Imam Ali alayhi salam raised our Prophet with his hand, and there were two other Sahaba who were still there. The rest had all ghaib shud, run. He took him into a small cave and said, Ya Rasulullah, you will take some rest while I bring water. He fetched water to wash his wounds and all that. Someone said, and it is there in the history, that Shaitan said, whether Shaitan said or his brother said, makes no difference to me. But someone said, Mata Muhammad. Muhammad is dead. When this was heard, those 50 people thought, now what is the use of fighting? So they left that strategic place. And while they left, Khalid bin Walid, who was still not a Muslim, he attacked the Islamic army from behind. So there was confusion. These people were busy gathering Mal Ghanima and spoils of war. Khalid bin Walid was attacking, so many were killed. None remained but Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam and the Prophet. Tariq, Sira ibn Hisham, the earliest one, says the Prophet looked at Ali ibn Abi Talib and said, Ya Ali, you did not run away. Now if I were there, I would have said, Ya Rasulullah, I am a brave man, I don't go. But that was the right place to assert one's bravery or to oblige. He said, Ya Rasulullah, for your sake I did not go. But he did not say that I haven't gone for your sake. Nor did he say that I have remained because I am brave. The answer he gave was a principle upon which you can judge everyone. Ya Rasulullah, akfuru ba'da al-iman? Should I become a kafir after becoming faithful? That means those who run away now, I don't need to say anything. Those who left the Prophet. Akfuru ba'da al-iman? Should I take up kufr after iman? Till today, historians have not been able to decide whether Uhud was won or lost. But the armies retreated from both sides, and when the Prophet came to Medina, and they were sitting, Mawla Ali said, in Nahjul Balagha it is there, khutbah number 156. He said, Ya Rasulullah, so many look at the spirit. How can I judge my Mawla? I don't know. It is impossible even to evaluate the personality of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He says, I told, Ya Rasulullah, so many have been fortunate to be martyred. I have been deprived of martyrdom. These, those who have been martyred, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with Jannah. What about me, Ya Rasulullah? I wanted martyrdom. And Rasulullah said, Sayakunu kathalik. You will be shaheed. وَكَيْفَ يَكُونُ صَبْرُكَ إِذَنْ Ya Ali, tell me, how much will you be able to forbear and have patience when you will be shaheed? You know what the answer he gave? He said, Ya Rasulullah, أَعْلَى سَلَامَةِ دِينِ Will that happen when I'm still firm in my faith? قَالَ بَلَا The Prophet said, yes. قَالَ إِذَنْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ هَذَا لَيْسَ مِنْ مَوَاطِنِ الصَّبْرِ بَلْ بِنْ مَوَاطِنِ الشُّكْرِ If I'm going to be on my faith firm and I'll be martyred, then this is not circumstances for forbearance. It is for thanksgiving that I will be martyred. And this is 17th, today is 20th, on 17th, the first battle of Badr took place. I will not go into detail, but 35 of them were killed. 35 of Badriyun, not ours, Islamiyun. 1,000 people, all armed, here. 3 swords and 13 horses. The rest was only stones and spears. And 313 people. And the month of Ramadan. Some of them kept their fast. Although the Prophet told them, it is jihad, it is severely hot, you can break your fast. All that is happening in Badr, the first Islamic war. And Ya Rasulullah, how are we going to face them? And Quran says, لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّهُ Allah helped you in Badr while you are weak. All those, Abu Jahl, Utbah, Shaiba, all of those were killed in Badr. All, Guru and Guru Gantals, all of them. And on here, people used to ask each other, Ya Rasulullah, how is this happening? We are not even armed fully. These were our armed. And it happened. Abu Sufyan was the only one saved. Abu Lahab did not even join. Abu Sufyan says, Sirah ibn Hisham, that when I reached Makkah, Abu Lahab was waiting for good news. And he said, Yabn al-Akh, oh my brother's son, it's my cousin. What happened? Tell me. Now this is the answer. Sirah ibn Hisham, the earliest history. He said, Abu Lahab, I saw with my own eyes people dressed in white riding black horses between the heaven and the earth. attacking us, leaving and sparing no one. We just stretched our neck to be cut off. And everyone who looked behind saw Ali ibn Abi Talib. The result was that although Ali was not the only one who killed them, he killed 17 out of them. But if you asked every 35, everyone said, "My Ali killed me, Ali killed my brother, Ali killed my son. Ali killed 17, but whoever looked behind, that means even Malaika, when they came there as Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is Badr. There cannot be any Badr without Ali ibn Abi Talib. And there cannot be Uhud. This is called Jihad bin Nafs. And now if you look this way, to Karbala, then you understand. When Abbas rises, when Ali Akbar rises, when Aun Muhammad, when we hear that Janabi Zainab tells Aun Muhammad that you are the grandson of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, when Layla tells, Ummu Layla tells Ali Akbar, you are the grandson of Ali ibn Abi Talib, when Abbas rises before the whole army and says, I am the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and the whole army of Yazid starts trembling, because there is a history of that jihad fi sabilillah. And this is the reason why Yazid said, after everything was over, Ya layta ashyakhi bi badrin shahidu. Let my grandfathers of Badr who were killed come and see today how I have avenged the blood. Ya layta ashyakhi bi badrin shahidu. So there comes a time, my friends, when we have to be ready for that. We just cannot have well-cushioned obscurity every time. To say, no, we are not meant for it. If you want money, take money and get rid of us. No. At times one has to speak. And at times one has to stand firm and say, this will not happen. And at times it may be even a question of giving away one's life. One has to get prepared for it. When Imam al-Zamana ajjalallahu farajahu al-sharif. Inshallah ta'ala, there's still jihad bil-mal and many other forms of jihad. Inshallah we'll discuss later. Wassalamu alaikum.